Hey everybody, and welcome to the Brothers Geek, where geeky brothers talk about geeky things. We are at episode 50, Patrick.
Episode 50!
My god. And my name's Chris Laporte, friend of Steve One, and Repulsa Putty Designer.
That's weird. I also have a Mystery Science Theater one in there. Well, my name is Patrick Laporte, SOL Custodial Services. Someone's got to pick up all the popcorn after.
Yeah, it's
and,
true.
And Starkiller Base Landscaping Crew.
Oh, God. They'd be mowing the lawn forever.
Yeah. That's why they need a whole crew to do it.
Yeah, it's true. Until there's no lawn to mow, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Patrick.
Yes, Chris.
Do you ever think that...
Yes.
Well, that's answered. Anyway,
not a news.
The beer I'm drinking. Yeah. After watching Stranger Things, and we just watched What We Do in the Shadows, which is the same director as Thor, and it's a like vampire documentary, uh-huh. Basically. All these vampires living in the same flat, and Jermaine is one of the vampires.
Oh, nice.
It's hilarious. But it's just like vampires are just like a normal part of the world.
Right.
You ever think, just for a moment, like we got ripped off? Like, in reality, there's no magical things. Like, we say cuz magic all the time on the show, but it's never cuz magic, really.
True.
And as much as, like, you know, I'd rather not be eaten by a Demogorgon, preferably. But, you know, I want to leave. I feel like I got ripped off on the whole supernatural thing.
Well... What if, because in all of those things, there's always the people that are walking around and are super oblivious to everything. What if there is supernatural things, but the other people that take care of that stuff are actually just, like, doing their job really well, and so we don't know that there are those other things?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, what if we are living in one of those movies right now, like Stranger Things, but we're just, like, a member of the town that is... We're just one of those other kids at the high school or whatever that has no idea what's going on.
We're just part of the people that don't matter at
yeah.
all.
We're the extras.
Well, that's even more depressing.
Well, now you've opened up a whole can of worms.
Yeah. Well, I think you've opened it up, number one. I swear to God, if the Force is real and no one's telling me about it, what the hell?
Well, go into your local doctor, Chris, and... ask for them to give you a midichlorian count, and
it's right at the bottom of the form. Like, yeah. I just never check it.
Does your family have a history of high midichlorian count? It's like right next to diabetes and alcoholism.
And it has Yoda's for reference, like, on the page.
Midichlorian count high, you have.
Oh, man. I guess.
Yeah. What if it is real?
It probably is. There's probably, like, one of the biggest secrets the government has. It's like there's actually stargates. Like, we found them,
and
we can, like, just walk to other worlds and shit. But you're never gonna know about it, so they might as well not exist, I guess.
Yeah, I want to believe, Chris. Like that one show, X-Files.
The files of letter X.
It came from letter X files.
So, okay, here's the question. Would you rather at your deathbed, and you found out all these crazy supernatural things are actually a part of our world, and you just didn't get to be a part of it? I don't know how you find out, but you find out on your deathbed. Maybe you're being eaten by a Demogorgon that's come through. And you're like, oh, I guess that's a thing. That yeah. hurts, but it's a thing. Or just, you know, there's nothing supernatural at all. There's nothing magical. Just science. Fuck science. Sorry, science, Mike. I don't mean that.
I suppose I would rather there be magical shit, but I just don't know about it until the end or whatever that option was. The one where there is magical things. That's the option I want. Whether I know
but
about it or don't.
Your whole life goes by, and you're dying, and you didn't get to partake.
Yeah, but at least I can be like, oh, sweet. At least it's out there.
Ah, oh, sweet, there was a Jurassic Park, as, like, a Dilophosaurus has taken out my larynx.
Yeah. That would be some pretty hard evidence, yeah.
Exhibit A.
Exhibit A, this velociraptor tearing through my body. It looks like a small bird for some reason, but it's there.
I thought there was just... I thought there was just one, but then... from the sides.
Clever girl.
Well, since there isn't anything magical that we know about, there is something magical, at least a little bit, and that's called beer.
It's true.
What are you drinking, Ben?
Okay, I'm drinking Kirkland Signature water because earlier I went to Taco Tuesday because we record on Tuesdays. I went to Taco Tuesday with my girlfriend and my mom, and
be proud.
Yeah. And I got a margarita, so I'm already good on that.
And
if I drank the beer on top of that, I'd be gone, and we'd never get through this episode. So I'm drinking Franklin Signature.
And the way they give out dessert there, I mean, dessert, they just put a shot of tequila on your desk, and they're like, here's your dessert.
I was actually very surprised when they didn't do that today.
Wow.
Probably because they were just really busy.
True. They don't. I haven't had that happen to me on Taco Tuesday, so.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I missed it.
But the margaritas are huge there, as it is.
That's so true.
Yeah. I was, feeling pretty good from that still. So that, and my belly's full of delicious tacos.
Speaking of magic, that's magical.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I am, pretty much just out of money, but I still had my beer of from last time, the Warlock. It's pretty good, and I'm gonna keep drinking it. I'm gonna pull Patrick.
There you go.
And keep on drinking it.
Yeah, I do have more Old Raspy out in the back, but I...
We're getting so, like, economical.
I know.
I'm not going to have a new beer every week. I'm just going to keep the six-pack going. You know?
So it'll be like, this week I'm drinking Bud Light with Lime. I got 27 more of them.
Bud Light Lime? Ugh.
No, it'll never come to that.
Yeah, we'll never resort. Well, I'd rather have refreshy water.
Yeah, refreshy.
At least I'm getting hydrated that way.
Yeah. So, some news this week.
Yeah, well, more celebratory than news, I guess.
Yeah.
But, happy 10-year birthday? Is it today? Like,
today,
on
yeah.
the dot?
Yeah.
Mass Effect, 10 years old.
Because it's,
Which?
It's November 7th, Chris. It's N7 Day.
Oh, it's N7 Day. Oh, that's awesome. Wait. Oh. But did the first Mass Effect come out on November 7th? No. It's just N7 because...
They're just celebrating...
Yeah.
And they're celebrating gotcha. The 10-year anniversary today because it's N7 Day. Yes.
I wish we had, like, some exciting new Mass Effect news because it's November 7th.
Last year we did. But then that turned out to be a huge disappointment.
Yeah. So.
I was.
Probably the end of. You think it's the end of Mass Effect? You think this is it?
They'll probably release a remaster. And that'll probably be the last thing they do. Of the original trilogy.
I'd buy the shit out of that.
Oh, hell yeah.
With for PS4 with all the DLC and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an Ultimate Edition. Yeah.
I work overtime just to afford that.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Another thing, though, this is actual news. They announced for Switch that, who was it? Was it Bando Namkai or something like that? People are thinking that they're going to release Dark Souls on the Switch, like remastered.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
So
they announced that they're doing something for the Switch. So people are speculating that they are going to release like remastered Switch versions of the first three Dark Souls.
Wow.
Would you play Dark Souls then?
No.
But you played Breath of the Wild. Everybody says that's the Dark Souls of Zelda.
For Zelda. But it's still nowhere near the difficulty of Dark Souls.
You gotta get good. For our Chris Gets Good series, or whatever we're gonna call it, that'll be one of the things where I coach you through Dark Souls.
But see, the key for doing that will be I need to start poorly. So I need to be in all my horrible, like, glory.
No, no. Coaching just means, like, I'm going to sit there and watch you play, and I'll...
No, yeah.
I'll tell you where to go if you get lost, basically.
Maybe that'll be the first thing we do whenever I move back, which, you know, might be when this lease is up. I don't know.
For sure.
That'd be a good one. Because, well, it'd be good in the sense that there'd be some funny moments, but there'd be definitely people frustrated the hell out. Oh, yeah. Because this is the 1,500th time.
Myself included.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Myself included, really.
But you'll get good, Chris. And you'll feel so satisfied. Remember last week when I talked about best video game rewards? Dark Souls. You'll win back your dignity, and you'll win the satisfaction of this game has bent you over and over and over again, and tap that ass as much as it pleased, because you had no way of fighting back, but then you fought back and you beat it. And then you tapped its ass. Oh. And you won. You won the Dark Souls.
Sounds like a lot of work. I don't come to video games to work. I escape work.
But they're really fun, actually.
Alright.
Alright,
fine, fine. Yeah, rebels.
Oh, man. You know who else could be sometimes a jolly good time and you don't expect it? Somewhat of a Dark Souls.
What, Patrick?
Sometimes villains, unexpectedly, are a jolly good time. And they help you out.
That's true. Whether they mean to or not.
Yeah. That one, I had to work real hard. Also,
yeah, you really pushed that one. I've seen you sweat a little. See, I did the last couple weeks, and you're now rusty. I need to stop doing them.
Got to work out these segue muscles.
You do lose it if you don't use it.
It's true. That's what they say.
But yeah, we were thinking about topics as we constantly are writing ideas down. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know what's funny is a lot of villains accidentally are like nice guy, whatever, you
good
know,
guy villains.
Nice guy villains, because they really could just win, but for inexplicable reasons, they allow the hero every chance that they can. And really, who's to blame at that point?
Yeah.
So, we're going to go through some of our favorites. I think I've only really got three, but I've got a lot of points about each.
Okay.
One.
I have, like, about three as well. We might have one that overlaps. One of them is very, like, is super deep psychological. Like, he doesn't even know that he's doing it. Yeah. But I'll save that one for last.
Okay. Well, why don't I start with what gave me the idea in the first place?
Okay.
For all his evilness, and one of the most classic video game villains of all time is really just super nice guy. He's really rooting for you, honestly, and that's Ganondorf. Uh-huh. Because let's face the facts, you have this elaborate setup where you hide pieces of whatever, or you lock away sages in different places, or whatever the hell your master plan is for keeping the real power away from Link, and you put him at the ends of these dungeons somehow. Like, you're able to construct these things or utilize something that was already there for your own purpose now, and you make this crazy fucking monster at the end of them.
Yeah.
And you have all these locked doors and hidden passageways and terrifying wall masters, and what do you do with the locks for those doors? You put them on the right side of the door for Link to get to.
Yeah.
Thanks. Like, he does it so consistently. At that point.
He's really rooting for you.
Like, honestly. He's like, you know what? I could just hide them on the other side of the door so that he literally can't open them. And then I win. Like, this is just done. No problem. But I really would like to see if he can figure this out. And I feel like he's kind of watching through like his magical orb that I assume Ganondorf uses to
like
watch.
A plantier. Yeah, exactly.
his bubbling cauldron that he like watches Link through the entire time.
Uh-huh.
Every time he's like kind of upset with himself, but really he's just like, good on you. That's good. We're gonna have a great fight. I'm excited. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Do you think it's like just a case of he's just really bored? I mean, that dude's been waiting 7 years for just to happen.
Exactly. In Ocarina, yeah, it's 7 years. And he's like, I won, I did it. Because Link takes the Master Sword out, and he's just like too little to use it, so he gets sealed away. But that's how Ganondorf gets the Triforce, and the end. Like, you come back into the story after he already wins, basically.
Yeah, he's won, yeah.
And I assumed it happened probably like super quick. And he was just like, well, that was like a week.
Yeah.
And already got re-deads like set up in the courtyard, so shit.
So then he starts out of boredom, starts constructing these dungeons.
Exactly.
He's like, well, maybe if an adventurer comes along, you know, because he probably doesn't expect the person to come along with the Master Sword, you know. So he's just like, well, maybe if an adventurer comes along, like, I'll just set up these dungeons and I'll put the things out there, but nobody's gonna win. But I'll make it so that it's possible. But then you would think that he would start to realize, like, oh, that dungeon in the forest went down. Oh, shit. Maybe I should.
But wouldn't he be excited at that point? Because he makes them. Let's say it takes a year to build, like, all his elaborate setup for these dungeons. And think of the enemies in these dungeons. Like, fuck, man. Is he coming? Like, why are we here? Do we get breaks? I don't understand how the, like, clock and schedule works here.
Yeah. That thing in the well is like, what the fuck do I do? I'm just like a thing in a well.
I'm terrifying, and no one's going to know that I am this terrifying.
That I exist.
You would think, though, after like 6 years of waiting around, and speaking of villains, there's
speaking of villains, fucking Charlie.
You would think after 6 years that he would like sense, oh, hey, shit, that's that little kid. And he made
he's wearing the same clothes.
My God. It still fits, I guess. That's nice. He's got leggings, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
He did it. He beat the four. I'm excited. I don't know about you guys. The other boss is like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, he's going to kill you. I know. It's great.
Yeah.
I thought I wanted power. I just wanted a good story.
He just wanted a friend,
really. That's what Ganondorf's all about. He wants a good story.
It's a good one.
Not to mention that the Master Sword in many of the games is just out there in the world.
Yeah, right.
You would think he would know by now, like, this is the one thing that can seal me away. Literally the one sword that can do it properly. Maybe I'll set up some extra guards. Even if I don't know exactly where it is, it's somewhere in that fucking forest. I'll just guard all the entrances. Nope.
I'll just burn the whole forest down so that the one metal thing survives and I can take it.
Now, here's why he's really good guy Ganondorf, and that's he really loves the national park system, and he would never do that.
It's true.
Yeah, he usually really incorporates his bad guys into the forested regions whatever.
What it was is Ganondorf saw the movie Lion King, and he saw what happened when things get out of hand. And resources get consumed too quickly.
Ganondorf's like, we need a balanced ecosystem.
Yeah. Like, I'm not falling for that. My nephew's gonna come
lesson
back and kill
learned
me.
Exactly. Oh, man. He's mindful. You gotta give him that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's very Yeah.
What do you got?
My first one is I gotta go with the something that I grew up watching basically every day. And I saw these two, they did their very best, but in the end they just made the good guy stronger. And that's Jesse and James from Team Rocket.
James.
Because they're just, like, the worst. They just want to, like, steal Pokemon, but the Pokemon that they use are garbage, like trash, so no wonder they want to steal Pokemon. But they're so obsessed over this one Pikachu, because apparently it's the one fucking Pikachu in the whole world, and they can never find another one.
Yeah, seriously, though. Is there no other episodes that involve other Pikachus at all?
I think there are, but for some reason, they just, they build up this vendetta against this one Pikachu. But they just lose over and over and over again, and all it does is just give Pikachu experience, and he just, you know, gets stronger and stronger every time he beats them. You know.
That's true.
So.
Maybe. Now, hear me out. Maybe they saw that this Pikachu, he wasn't, like, the best Pikachu. He's actually not special at all. He's actually, like, the runt Pikachu.
Yeah, because like, no, nobody wants, do? Like, Professor Oak is just, he's like, nobody wants this Pikachu because he's he's super, you know, rowdy and annoying and disobedient.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if, like, they're like, you know what? If we keep attacking him, we're going to build him up. Like, we're going to do it so much. There's no other Pikachu that's ever going to encounter this many different Ekans over and over and over again.
He'll be really good at fighting Ekans. Ekans. And coughings. Now, this is what I think, Chris. You are on the right track for sure. Because we have already discussed who the real villain of Pokemon is.
You almost got me.
Because the real villain of Pokemon is Professor Oak. We've already discussed this. Go listen to that episode.
It's literally called Professor Oak is an Asshole.
Yeah. So I think that Team Rocket, they are trying to get Pikachu. You know what? Jesse and James were the apprentices of Professor Oak before Ash came along, and they saw his tyranny and what he did. So now they see this little boy come along. They're like, he's doing it again to this little boy. We gotta team up. We'll pretend to be the bad guys. We'll join this Team Rocket. And we'll, like, you know, even play into it a little bit. And, you know, but then we are gonna help this kid become stronger so that one day he can rise up against Professor Oak. And then he can become the professor. And, bring in a new era of Pokemon trainers. Because if you look at the backstories of Jesse and James, James's backstory,
which we all
actually
have, of course.
James's backstory is actually really sad. Like, he didn't have any, like, friends when he was a kid. All he had was this Growlithe, and he, like, they saved each other and stuff, and it's, like, really sad.
Well, it's because he always introduces himself in the weirdest way.
James.
Hey, I'm James.
At one point in one episode, he enters a bikini contest, and is a tranny for a little bit, but they banned that episode.
Well, you know what? James should be able to express himself however he wants.
Yeah. This is Japan we're talking about. They're pretty weird. Even for the 90s, they were getting there.
Weird or progressive? You be the judge. Damn it, I almost got Patrick.
So, Team Rocket. They're actually good. They're a good guy Team Rocket. Good guy Jesse and James.
They're really there to they're the heat molding the iron, really.
That's right.
Yeah.
Damn. Meowth, that's right.
Oh, shit. That's good. Meowth, by the way, of course I'd take him in. Because he's the only Meowth that can't do the fucking coin thing. And, they're good guy Team Rocket.
And he's the only Meowth that talks and he gets made fun of because he talks. And so they feel
bad. Which is dumb.
Yeah.
My next one, I have to admit, like, so many flaws. Like, I, as much as this is the villain for me, I have to admit how great he is, really, to understand that he would have just won, and there would have been no problem. And that's Sauron.
Oh, dang.
Now, let me paint a picture for you.
Uh-huh.
At the end of Return of the King.
Yeah.
Middle of Return of the King, if it's the books. Towards the end of the Return of the King. in the movies. You have Aragorn going to the Black Gate, trying to give Frodo extra time to get to Mount Doom, because there's still like 10,000 orcs or some shit in Mordor. So he marches to the gate and basically knocks on the door and's like, "Sup, bitch." Pretty sure that's
Ding Dong Ditch Sauron.
He leaves a little bag of poop on the Black Gate
set on fire. Sauron's like, the mouth of Sauron comes out. Like,
ah, damn it.
Ah, troll
in my
shit.
Eye. Could I have big guy?
Fuck.
And Sauron's like, yeah, I'll fight him. Sure. Why? There's a giant gate, like, blocking Aragorn's way into Mordor. Even if he thinks he's an actual threat to come into Mordor, there's still this huge gate in Arn. You could have, like, 1,000 people at that gate. You'd be fine. Even if you thought Aragorn had the ring, because that's really what's going on. Sauron thinks Aragorn has the ring. So he's like, oh, shit, let me go get him. But there's only one of two things that Aragorn can do, even if he has the ring. And that's A, destroy it. Or B, use it, but he has no, like, siege weapons, right? What's he going to do? Climb to the top of the tower and then what? What's the danger? So
stab him in the eye.
Maybe Aragorn's trying to destroy it. So, okay, that's a big deal. There's only one fucking place to do that. Why wouldn't you just surround Mount Doom with everything else you had? Make him come to you. And then Frodo, of course, would have never made it. No. Because of the one place that, you know, you could destroy the ring, if that's what Sauron's worried about, is protected heavily.
True.
But you know what? Sauron watched Aragorn come his way. And he's like, look at these motherfuckers. Like, there's this ragtag little group. They're like, they're working together. God bless them. That's the whole point of this war was to bring Rohan and Gondor back together and get Aragorn a purpose so he can be king again, I guess.
And why can't we be friends is playing in the background.
Yeah, exactly. And he looks at his children, basically, at this point. He's like, look at Gondor and Rohan. They're playing nice. They're coming to fight me. And by George, I'm going to give them that fight. So he opens up the heavily defensible Black Gate. And he lets out all of his orcs so that they can go meet him, Aragorn and his army. And all the while, of course, Frodo goes into to Mount Doom. And, and Sauron probably felt like, oh, Frodo put the ring on, you know, right in the mountain. He's like, oh, that guy, what a joker, right?
Well, do you think it's just Sauron's pride that someone would be so arrogant to just walk up to his doorstep and challenge him like that? Do you think that's why?
No, I think he left the doorstep open because he just wanted to see if someone had the courage to do it. You know, like no one simply walks into Mordor. That's the phrase everyone says.
That's
everybody.
A meme.
Like, everyone knows about it.
Aragorn did it, though.
You know, he's got it on his doormat, you know, at every entrance to Mordor.
It's on his coffee mug for when he's Folgers in his cup.
And so he wants to just see, like, what kind of people are making up Middle Earth, you know? Like, I was here, and I was kind of a bad dude a long time ago, and I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry. Are you guys, like, any better? And he just wants to see. And you know what? They prove themselves.
It's true.
And a big old single tear comes out of his eye, you know? And I'm pretty sure as the tower's crumbling and he's exploding, he's a little bit happy.
Yeah.
Also, the Ringwraiths are invisible. Why the hell cloak them? What a nice guy.
Yeah.
I need a spy to go out into the world and find my ring. You guys can't see him, so I don't want to be, like,
black
too good. I don't want to be too good. So here's these heavy black cloaks, and I'm going to put as much metal around their feet so you can hear it going.
That's true.
I know Tolkien fans. I know, like, they don't have their full power if they aren't, like, they don't have the cloaks and the armor and stuff. I've read the books, all right?
Yeah, they would dissipate or whatever.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, calm down. We're having fun.
We're having fun. Well, I have a Lord of the Rings character as my number two as well. Nice. That's Gollum. Good guy Gollum. Because when you think about it, Frodo and Sam would have just been boned if it wasn't for Gollum, really. I mean, he kind of turns into a good guy at one point, and then turns back into a bad guy. And in the end, he turns into a good guy again. Because...
it's true.
Really, Frodo would have been corrupted. Sam would have been killed, but then Gollum decides to step in and is like, hey, I'm going to bite your finger off, but, you know, it's your finger or, you know, your soul. So he's like, you know, I'm going to take one for the team. Sorry, Frodo. I'm just going to bite your finger off real quick. It's going to hurt, but at what cost, you know? So,
yeah.
I'm going to bite it off, and then I'm just going to step back and swan dive off this cliff. And you're not even going to have to worry about it, friend. You're not going to have to worry about it.
You know who he's really helping, honestly, is Sam. Because poor Sam is in this situation and has to watch Frodo, like, become corrupted for the, like, literally for everyone in Middle-earth. Sam needs to push him over the edge. Like, that's what has to happen at this point.
Yeah.
And there's no way he's going to be able to do that. So if Gollum's not there, like you said, I mean, this is now a very awkward situation.
Sam's going to have to kill his best friend. Or he's going to have to kill his best friend. Everyone else.
Or else, yeah, they're boned. Everyone's boned. And Gollum's like, I get it. You guys are buddies. I don't really have friends, but I see the value in it.
Also, have you seen my life? It kind of sucks. I've wanted to end it for a really long time, and now this is the perfect opportunity for me to do that. I lost a game of riddles a long time ago, and that just really just tore me up inside, and I just can't see myself lose again. So I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to redeem myself, and I'm going to bite your finger off. I'm going to swan dive.
And it's just, like, playing that, like, kind of cheesy music a little bit. And it's just, as he's falling backwards, it's just like, I will remember you. And I'm just...
in the arms of angels.
Isn't that the, like, puppy one?
Yeah. The sad animal shelter.
The sad doggo one. Yeah. God, they get you. They really do. There's the real villains right there. Man.
Well, not really, because all those doggos should be adopted. Let's be fair.
Well, yeah, I guess they're doing good, but boy, they really...
they tug on your heartstrings.
They really do. that's good. I've thought many times about how he really helps Sam out of an awkward situation.
Yeah, he does.
Now, here's another fellow who seems like he's just... pure evil. I'm the master of evil and manipulation. But really, really, he just... God, he loves an underdog story. You gotta admit. And that's Emperor Palpatine.
Okay, I was thinking about having Darth Vader as one of mine, so I'm glad I didn't.
Alright, so there's a shit ton of stuff this guy does. Man. There's a lot of stuff he does throughout his tenure that just helps everything, really. First of all, he knows Yoda escapes their duel. Like, he even tells the guard, like, oh, I found his cloak, his little mini cloak. Look how adorable it is.
It's so
he's
cute.
Like, no, it's so fucking cute. He's like, no, he's still alive, unless you find his mangled, I assumed mangled body.
Yeah.
Like, he's alive somewhere. And, of course, they don't. So you have to... like, this very paranoid already Palpatine must assume that Yoda's alive. And I think he's like, that little bastard. And he's just proud of them, you know? He threw the Senate at him.
The whole freaking Senate.
True story. And he must know, like, Anakin, eventually he comes around as Darth Vader, and they're able to talk to each other. He does his no thing, and he finds out Anakin was, like, as he assumed, was fighting Obi-Wan. So he must know Obi-Wan is alive as well. You got two very influential Jedi still kicking around the galaxy. And he's like, I'll give it to him. I'll give the good guys those two guys. Let's see what those two can do. Because if we just end this thing now, and this whole Order 66 thing, it was super effective.
It was.
if we just end this thing now, they're going to be in the Ganondorf situation. It's just going to be boring as hell.
True.
So I need this in my life. And it's just two people. I'm really curious. I'm working with two people. They're working with two people. It's fair.
Fair.
And so
well, at that point, 20, the power is balanced. I mean,
I've got the, you know, fucking Imperial fleet and shit, but whatever. And then eventually there's other Jedi show up, I guess. But so he also must assume, like he knows Padme dies, but can he be so sure those kids weren't born? Like, he's pretty confident about that. They don't even try. They don't even fucking look at Anakin's old home. They don't even try. So,
and so he probably talks about it a lot, too. He's like, I killed all those women and the children, too. So much fucking sand. You can hide so many things in that sand.
There's so many things. But fuck sand. I hate it so much. I don't think that's an oversight. I think Palpatine's like, yeah, he's probably there if they're anywhere. But you know what? I want to see what Obi-Wan does.
He wants to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's like he's waiting for the next season, you know? And then it gets to Return of the Jedi. And this is when it really, like, comes off the hinges for him. All you have to do, like, he knows there's people in that shuttle. There's rebels in the shuttle going down to the planet. And he knows the fleet's coming. It's all part of his plan. He wants to, like, corrupt Luke. And how greedy are you? That you have fucking Darth Vader already, the badass, and you're like, no, but I want his kid.
I want the newer, younger model.
Risk everything for this kid. So as soon as you know Vader's got Luke, why wouldn't you just, like, I'm sure he was tracking that shuttle going down, right? Like, as soon as Vader's like, yeah, Luke's here, I've got him, like, bomb the shit out of the shuttle, and then everywhere those rebels could have, like, marched off to, just bomb the forest. Like, just carpet bomb the whole thing.
Yeah.
Problem solved. And then those rebels, they're going to show up, and like, come on, Han, old buddy, don't let me... Well, Han's dead. He's been dead for, like, 48 hours. So... And they show up, rebel fleets get decimated. If anyone leaves, it's their... piddly nothing, and their empire wins, and they have Luke.
Also, the emperor must have known where Han Solo was being kept by Jabba the Hutt, and he must have known that his friends were going to try to save him. So, like, why not? You know, if Darth Vader was there, things would have been gone very poorly for everyone.
Again, I think he really loves the underdog story. Because he's like, how is this tiny little group of rebels on one shuttle
going
to assault my very heavily fortified shield base? With the teddy bears that are out? We know about the teddy bears. So
true.
I would love to see it. I mean, who wouldn't want to see that happen? Of course, it does happen. And much to his delight, that's why he laughs so much. He's having a fucking blast.
It's true.
And you gotta love a villain who has taken meticulous decades to build an empire, a literal empire, and go, but what if? And let it happen.
Don't know.
That's who Snoke is. He's learned his lesson. He's like, oh shit.
That's
or maybe he was so bored in death, he came back as Snoke. He's like, I just want to have some fucking fun.
We're having fun. We're having fun.
Yeah, rebels.
Oh, man. All right. Well, the final villain that I have is also a villain that's just really looking out for the little guy. Sometimes literally. And that's King Koopa himself, Bowser.
Now nice. This, we got the two most iconic video games.
Now this goes real deep, because on the surface, you go, no, Bowser is just like a cruel dragon thing that just, he steals this, he's obsessed over this one woman, this one princess, wants to marry her or something, just like wants to just take her over and over and over again. And then Mario, every single time, he's got to come in and save Princess Peach. Like, because this Bowser is so obsessive. It's kind of creepy right. And weird, because he's not even human, and Peach is human, I guess. And it's like, no, this is what Bowser is doing. Because have you seen the layouts of his castles where he holds Princess Peach? The switch to kill him is right behind him every single time. All you gotta do is jump over him. It's like he wants to lose. Because obviously lava's not gonna kill him. He breathes fire. It's like, he'll go away for a little bit. He'll come back and steal Princess Peach again. Because if it wasn't for Bowser, Mario would just be a plumber. And nobody wants to just be a plumber, you know? I'm sure there are people out there, plumbers out there. I'm sure there are plumbers out there that love their jobs. But if you have the chance to be a hero, you're gonna take it every single time.
That can, like, shoot fireballs out of his hands just because he ate a flower or some shit?
Yeah. That becomes invisible and super colorful because of a star. Because, by the way, Bowser's putting all those items out there for him to grab.
Textbook Ganondorf syndrome.
Yeah. But Bowser goes, this poor guy, he's in love with this princess. Really, Mario's the obsessive one. Mario's kind of a creep. He's in love with this... he's in love with this princess, but he just fixes... Like, he just fixes up their bathroom when there's a clog. She doesn't know who she is. I know. I'll kidnap Princess Peach. Someone's gonna have to come and save her, and it ain't gonna be one of those weird fucking toad people. It's gonna have to be
the shit.
It's gonna have to be the plumber. And, I'll make it difficult, but just challenging enough where he's gonna look really badass for doing it, but in reality it's pretty easy. Cause I'm gonna put out these things that like make him invincible, and like you said, make him fly and give him fireball shooting powers and things like that.
Naturally.
And he's only gonna have to go one way. I'm gonna make it really easy for him. He'll just have to go left or right. Mostly right.
Just go straight and up and around things sometimes.
Yeah, and it'll be very obvious where my castles are. You'll just walk across the land and a little bit and jump on some Koopas and some Goombas, and you'll save the princess. I'll put the switch right behind me, and, I'll go away. And next time Mario begins to get back in the old plumbing business and just wishing for another chance to be a hero again, I'll give him that opportunity. I'll give him that opportunity. But Bowser's really helping out Mario a lot. He's giving him a purpose, a job, besides just plumbing.
And he really is. I Or, he just has, like, plumbing issues in his castle. I mean, every castle does. And he's like, that motherfucker never comes out here.
Yeah.
And so he's just creating a situation. Of course, Mario never fixes the actual pipes, so that's just not well thought out.
That is the other issue, yeah.
It gets pipes real weird. We got Odyssey, and started playing that, and it's just colors and addicting and fun. first of all, Bowser is looking slick in his
in his suit and
his little top hat and everything. He's got his pimp hand strong and right. And he's actually like forcing Peach to marry him, which is, man, getting in some dangerous territory there, Bowser. But he is really dedicated to making this Mario guy look
good. He's got to take it up a notch every time. If he just keeps doing the same thing over and over again, obviously the facade is going to be up.
Yeah.
So he's got to.
He's got to do it different.
Yeah.
He's got to, I mean, again, all I think all of these villains are really just, they love story. They got to make it more elaborate every time.
Yeah, I agree.
Huh. Oh, man. It's good. Well, if you have any villains that you like that you seem to think like, boy, they really are trying to help the good guys, let us know. You can go to theportport.com. That is the port, our last name, P-O-R-T-E. P-O-R-T. So you can go to that website. You can get the link in the description of this podcast. And there's all the ways you can contact us through Twitter, Facebook, email, all that good stuff. So,
yep.
So yeah. And you can even, if you click, we have our pictures. We're cheesing on the front page. If you click our pictures, it goes to our personal Twitter accounts. So you can even message us there. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you've got some villains that seem to really, really help the good guys, let us know. We want to hear what you think.
Great.
Yep. Yep. Also, you could tell us about your weapon of the week.
Weapon of the week.
Every week. You can submit that. And that, of course, is whatever you've been watching, playing, reading, listening to, whatever weapon that's being used in those mediums. That is your weapon to get through the zombie apocalypse. The zombie apocalypse, of course, started by Luke, friend and listener, who rose the army from the dead in the first place. Thought it was helping, I guess. I don't even know. Patrick, what?
Well, first we have to do the jingle.
Oh, we got to do the jingle. Oh, we got a jingle.
Yeah. When you're fighting zombies and the future looks bleak, it's time to pull out your weapon of the week. I did it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
And that's when we both, like, jump in the air and freeze.
Yeah. You didn't see
it. It totally happened.
So Andrew chimes in with his weapon of the week. This week. And it's, sorry, my dog's going just nutso out there. And I don't know why.
I'll see what I can do about
that. He chimes in, and he goes, "Zombies like Eggos, right? Question mark? Hashtag weapon of the week." So I guess Eggos is weapon of the week is what I'm getting from him. Yeah, I'm guessing Stranger Things is the last thing.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever used as a weapon. No, it is. Oh my god, it's a great weapon because you don't even realize it's a weapon. But if you only eat Eggos, there's going to be a cholesterol problem.
Zombies need to worry about that?
Yeah, absolutely. They walk around a lot, so it's going to take a lot of Eggos.
It's true.
they're always power walking everywhere. But you shove enough Eggos down them, that their blood sugar count's going to be through the roof.
Now there's one issue though. You're gonna have to get all the remaining humans to give up their Eggos, because that's a precious commodity in a zombie apocalypse.
So, as you're doing this, I assume you're gonna get a lot of flack, as everyone says, "Lego my Eggo," right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of people saying, "Lego my Eggo, Andrew."
You know what? I feel like that phrase has never really actually been able to be used. And in our zombie apocalypse, I'm sorry, Luke's zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Finally, that branding comes into like fruition as Andrew's trying to just steal all these Eggos to shove down zombie throats, which is dangerous, by the way. Your fingers get pretty close.
Yeah. That'd be bad news.
You could freeze them. Probably chuck them.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like just wear a metal gauntlet and shoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My weapon of the week this week is something that sounds fucking awesome. But in a zombie apocalypse, it's just basically whatever. But the last thing I watched was, I'm trying to go through Supernatural, and it's a lot going on, but it's starting to get pretty good, actually, because now there's like angels getting involved and stuff, and it's getting pretty crazy. Oh my god. So there's this sword that can kill demons and angels. So I'd have a sword that can kill demons and angels. But against zombies, I guess it's just like a normal sword. So I just have like a sword.
It's like,
but if I ever run into demons or angels, I'm your guy.
You're just running around with this fucking badass sword that I assume, like, will just emit flame if you're going against angels or something. And just, like, radiant, beautiful light if you're going against demons. But you're going against zombies, so it just turns off. It's just like fucking a normal sword.
Yeah.
All that work. All that work for nothing.
But,
Man.
But it's still a sword, I guess.
I mean, it's not... It's probably more effective than an egg is.
True.
I would assume.
It could be a lot cooler, though.
Oh, man. Well, the last thing I watched was What We Do in the Shadows. So, of all the things that I think...
Rent?
Yeah. having to pay the vampire rent was a pain in the ass. But I think the most weapon-ish thing... There is a part where there's werewolves, of course, in the story as well.
Yeah.
And they know, they're aware that it's just like a thing they do as they turn into werewolves. So they try to tie themselves up against trees and stuff, and they... They have, like, feuds with the vampires and stuff. So, they end up turning into werewolves because they get distracted by the vampires. And they can't tie themselves up in time before the moon comes out. So, I guess my weapon of the week is distraction.
Or a full moon.
Of the full moon, which turns... I guess, do I get distracted and turn into a werewolf, I guess?
That might be effective.
Like, I'm running from the zombies, trying to figure out a way, like, getting scared that, oh my god, I'm going to turn into a werewolf. Not thinking, like, this is probably helpful. And luckily, I'm distracted by this man running around, shoving Eggos in the zombies' mouths. And I forget what I'm doing, because this is just, it's really art at this point. It's unbelievable. He's not getting bit.
And it's a full Eggo, so it looks like a full moon.
The moon reflects off the Eggo. And into my eyes. I can't, like, control it. The question is, when in werewolf form, you're gonna get, like, zombie blood on you. I guess we already covered this, because the zombies have to bite you in our universe, right?
Yeah.
So as long as I'm not getting bit as a werewolf, otherwise I might be turned into a werewolf... zombie.
Whoa, shit.
Do I stay that way? Do I turn it, like, does only my werewolf state be a zombie? And I turn back into a human, I'm like, well,
where's halfway zombie okay. Wolf? They're like, this man, fucking weird-ass night last night.
Not only am I a werewolf that is already, like, just hunting people down, I'm a zombie too, I guess?
Yeah.
But only when I'm a werewolf. This needs to be explored.
Yeah.
We need to have some horror movie about this. Oh, man. Well, is there anything else? By the time this comes out, we're going to have another RP Geek up.
Yeah.
Trying to get another article out, but we'll see. It's been a busy couple of weeks, so I've been a little behind on that. But hoping to do... You want to do something thanks to... this being our 50th episode.
Yes. So be on the lookout for another just bonus episode sometime the next week or so of just a moment from our first 50 episodes that I'll just compile. And if you have a favorite moment from one of our first 50 episodes, let us know. And then I'll include that moment in that as well. So... I mean, some of the big ones are going to be in there. So, like, do clones have dicks? That sort of thing.
Which is the most important question we've ever asked on the show.
So, but if you have a favorite moment, let us know, and put that. I know it might be hard to think about 50 episodes, a long time. But if you could think of something, then just let us know, and I'll be sure to include that.
Absolutely. Probably going to come out with an article too, a little bit of our adventure doing this podcast here, in the next week or so as well. So, in our favorite moments. And perfect timing with our 50th episode. Man, feels good.
Feels good, man.
Even though we're over the hill of the 40 episode. And,
42nd episode.
As we've discussed, that's it. Like, that's the pinnacle.
Still feels good.
Still feels good, yeah. Well, is that our geek for the week there, Patrick?
I think it's our geek for the week.
I suppose we should get out of here.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. I got some keys I gotta hide in the front of the dungeon.
Ooh. That's right. When you DM for RP Geek, you should be taking some clues from Ganondorf and his nice guy-ness. That's all I'm saying.
You find a small key. Da-na-na-na.
And they all work for the same locks. Switch up the locks, dude. Like, sure. My God.
But they're somehow magical enough to only work for that specific dungeon.
That's true.
So, get it.
Huh.
For some reason.
If you hit him in the other dungeons,
We gotta move on. We gotta end this episode.
All right. Well, bye, I guess.
Bye, Patrick signing off.
And Chris.
See you next week.